Growing up, I remember Good Friday very well. It was celebrated almost as a holy day. Everyone was off work. It was this way up until about 35 years ago. I still remember I was doing my internship for seminary at the Westerville Alliance Church in Westerville, Ohio. And we combined with the other churches in the town for a Good Friday service, which was at noon. All the churches participated, and all the businesses were closed, and we had a good turnout for the service. Things have changed. Good Friday is pretty much a normal work day. People now have to go to work, and that's why we have to have our service in the evening. I remember a few years ago that a Christian college had classes on Good Friday, and I was thinking, what's wrong here? And it seems that our nation, that we have forgotten what Good Friday means. And I hope as a church, we still understand the centrality of Good Friday and what the sacred day means. I remember how important Good Friday was to me as a child. As a child, I wasn't a believer, but I still knew how important it was. I really didn't understand what the crucifixion meant. I felt bad that Jesus was crucified. I often thought if I had lived 2,000 years ago, I would have tried to rescue Jesus or stop the crucifixion. Even though I and most of the kids in my neighborhood did not understand the crucifixion, during the time when Jesus was crucified from 12 to 3, we tried to play quietly. Instead of hitting each other with sticks, throwing rocks at one another, playing army, we tried to play quietly. I remember my friend Bruce and I, we thought about the crucifixion and how important it was. We tried to honor Christ's death. And that has stuck with me over all these years, probably over 55 years. I still, when it gets to be between 12 and 3 on Good Friday, even today, I start to think about the crucifixion. I start praising God and thanking Him for what He did. And I hope you've done that today too. And this has been with me for 50-odd years, even before I was a Christian, for a number of years before I became a Christian. It still impacted me. And I think as kids, we understood what happened, and we may have understood a little bit how it happened, but we didn't understand why it happened. And this is what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at how it happened, and then why it happened, and then what effect it should have on us. Let's begin by looking at how it happened. When we look at the gospel records of the crucifixion, the writers do not emphasize the physical suffering as much as the spiritual. This is understandable since it affects our relationship with God. They're more concerned about the readers getting right with God and becoming believers. We will also look at this aspect of the crucifixion later when we look at why Christ was crucified. But it's good for us to take a little time to look at the physical agony that Christ went through on the cross. This was illustrated very well by Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of Christ, which was shown a number of years ago. It had a worldwide following. It helped people to understand the agony that Christ went through on the cross. And one of the things that was unusual about this film that was tremendously popular in the Middle East, and it was popular among Muslim viewers. They would watch this, and this may have been the first time they ever saw what Christ did for them. And it was just had a tremendous impact on them. And it had an impact on people here in our country too. But for many today, they have only a vague idea really what happened to Jesus on the cross. In Psalm 22, verses 11 through 21, we have a graphic picture of death by crucifixion. And the fact is amazing because the Jews didn't practice crucifixion. This horrible form of death was devised by the Medes and the Persians and perfected by the Assyrians. And then it spread throughout the East, and the Romans borrowed it from the Phoenicians. And what's amazing is this form of execution came into existence after Psalm 22 was written. Psalm 22 was written about the 10th century B.C. This was before crucifixion was ever even conceived. Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm, but it was written before the Messiah was born. It describes the experience of Jesus' death on the cross. And we're going to look at Psalm 22, verses 11 through 21, which Paul read to you earlier. In verses 12 and 13, we're told that the Lord was surrounded by a crowd which was bestial. They are compared to bulls and lions. These kinds of animals would surround a weak animal and kill them. And this gives us a picture of Jesus being crucified in the hostile crowd that was surrounding him. And as we go on in this psalm, in verse 14, we have a description of the ebbing strength of the Savior on the cross. It felt like his bones were out of joint because of the violent stretching of his body upon the cross. It was like the medieval torture device, the rack. This is what they were doing to Christ's body. We also have a description in verse 15, the terrible thirst that the victims of the crucifixion always felt. Try to remember when you've been as thirsty as you ever been. I can remember this happening to me when I was hiking. But this is nothing compared to what our Savior went through. It's infinitesimal compared to Christ's thirst. In John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30, we have a description of Jesus' thirst. It says, later, knowing that all was completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus experienced great thirst. The writer goes on to say in verse 16 that the dogs have surrounded him. The dogs at this time were scavengers, and they were vicious beasts. The enemies of Christ surrounded him, and they pierced his hands and his feet. This happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. And we all know how painful it is to cut one's hands or one's feet. And it's something that's just horrible. And it's because there are so many nerves in our hands and our feet. I was listening, coming back from Georgia a couple days ago, to a Focus on the Family DVD. And it was talking about a man who was an international worker who worked among Muslims in the Middle East. And he told a story about a Muslim man in this Middle Eastern country who went to the hospital. He was dying. And the doctors said there was nothing they could do for him. And they just expected him to die. Well, that night, before he went to bed, he said that Jesus came and appeared to him in a dream or a vision. And he said he was in all white. And this Muslim said his hands were pierced and his feet were pierced by nails. And Jesus said, you're healed. And the next morning he woke up and he was healed. And these Muslim doctors came to him and said, what happened? He said, well, Jesus came to me last night and healed me. And they said, that's impossible. How do you know it was Jesus? And the man said, I saw his nail-pierced hands and feet and his side. Jesus was pierced for us. He was pierced for us. In verse 17, the psalmist says, I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. This is pointing to the fact that Jesus was publicly crucified and the crowd stood and jeered and hurled insults at him. But even through this horrible time on the cross, Christ again turned to God and put his trust in him. Christ never lost his trust in God, but it's mentioned for our sake. Christ never quit trusting God, even when God took judgment on himself for us. Even at that time, when Christ took all the judgment upon himself for us, he never quit trusting God. Now let's take a look at why the crucifixion happened. We see this in the book of Isaiah in chapter 53, verses 4 through 7. Why was Christ crucified? It's simple. He was crucified for our sins. He paid the penalty that we deserved. He paid the penalty that we could never pay. The prophet Isaiah, writing 700 years before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, described it perfectly. He not only told us how Christ was crucified, but he also told us why Christ was crucified. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25 quotes this passage from Isaiah. He quotes Isaiah 53, verse 9 and also verse 6. He writes, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. God tells us in Isaiah 53:6, which Peter quotes, we like sheep have gone astray. We are all separated from God, and we're all rebellious against God. This includes all of us. There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. We're all in the same boat. And verses 4 through 6 in Isaiah 53, the emphasis on plural pronouns. It's our griefs. It's our sorrows. It's our iniquities. It's our transgressions. And we have gone our own way. Jesus did not die for anything that he did, but because of what we did. In verse 5, we are told that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus' hands and feet were pierced by nails, and his side was pierced by a spear. He was also crucified for our iniquities. It was our sin that was put on him. It was your sin. It was my sin that was put on him. It wasn't anything that Jesus did. It was us. He was our sacrifice. Isaiah also said, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Jesus took on himself the punishment that we deserve. He took on that eternal punishment that we deserve. We deserve to go to hell. We deserve that type of punishment. But he took it upon himself and took the wrath and judgment that we deserve. This was an eternal punishment. It was a punishment that no human being could pay. Only God could pay the price. It was a penalty for sins of the world, whether we realize it or not. The punishment was ours to bear, but no human being could bear it because it was an eternal punishment. Everyone who commits a crime against humanity should pay for the crime. But how could one pay for sins against God? What possible punishment could fit rebellion against the Creator of the universe? If certain acts merit death or a life sentence here on earth, wouldn't it make sense for the punishment for the sins against God to be even greater? Would not the consequences of sin against an eternal God also continue on into eternity? The sobering truth is that all of us deserve the judgment of eternal death, since no one is worthy to stand in God's presence. Only in the light of what Christ did can we understand his atonement that he provided for us. All of us deserve punishment, but Jesus' perfect life and death paid the unimaginable debt we owe. Jesus did this for us on the cross. And as we think of Good Friday over 2,000 years ago, and we think about what Christ did for us on the cross, we have to ask ourselves the question, what does Christ's death on the cross mean to me? What does it mean to me? Tonight you've heard that why Christ died on the cross for humanity. The question is, how are you going to respond? If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, why not do it tonight? What better night to do it than tonight on Good Friday when Christ was crucified for us? He has provided the means through his death on the cross. One has to repent of their sins, which simply means to turn away from them. Then turn your life over to Christ. Then that is to surrender to him and then ask him to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior. If you already know Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is a time to praise him for this great sacrifice. It is a time to meditate on Christ's atonement for us. This is something we not only do on Good Friday or on communion, but we should do it every day. As I was talking about earlier, thinking about Christ's crucifixion for me on Good Friday, I should be thinking about this all the time. Praise God for this great sacrifice our Savior's made for us. How do we know Christ's sacrifice was true? How do we know it was accepted by God? We know it because of the resurrection. The resurrection proves that all Christ said about himself was true and that his sacrifice was acceptable to God. Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. This means his work is complete. Because of his sacrifice, we are God's children. And as we look forward to celebrating Easter on Sunday, let's remember all that Christ has done for us as we celebrate this resurrection day. What a tremendous Savior we have. Our Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you for this great sacrifice that you made for us, sending your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, Lord. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Help us to see this. Lord, if we've never made a decision for you, help us to do that tonight. If we have, help us to focus in and praise you for this great, great sacrifice, Lord. We just ask all this in your precious and holy name. Amen.